messages on screen that will be added as extra information becomes available. This station will now be
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast. Here are your hosts, Cam and Kobe.
Welcome to the Casual Preppers Podcast, the only place for prepping, survival, and entertainment. We're your hosts, Cam and Kobe, and we are ready to bring survival goodness direct to your ear holes.
As we communicate to you today, we're going to talk about communicating in an SHTF.
We are. We're going to talk about a lot of that stuff, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so finally, guys, it's happening. SHTF communications. And let's...
This comes with a disclaimer.
Yes, a big disclaimer. We are not in any
way... You ham nerd radio folk.
Don't get mad. That's what we're saying.
You're going to get mad, probably.
Yeah, you're going to get mad. We're trying our best.
This is just like an overview of the different ways to communicate with a little bit of scientific knowledge.
Yeah.
And it's like I was telling Kobe... I still to this day have no idea how radios work. Like,
it's magic.
It's
It's black magic.
First, you got to go find a necromancer and
a level 15 necromancer.
It's just a weird, bizarre thing that happens through the air.
It does. Yeah, it's really weird. So yeah, we're talking about all types of communications in an SHTF scenario and
give you some options.
Plans. Yeah.
Some understanding.
Yep.
Maybe.
But first, guys, today's podcast is brought to you by TacPack, the only monthly tactical subscription box with useful professional grade stuff inside. Get 10% off your first TacPack with our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com and join the thousands of satisfied subscribers today. That's 10% off with our code CASUALPREPPERS at TacPack.com.
Oh, talk up. Oh,
nice. Well done. We haven't done it in a while. People are getting mad.
They stopped listening altogether.
They did. Guys, first, real quick, we just barely released a brand new short film.
We did.
We're excited about it. It was super fun. Yeah, you could find it on our YouTube channel. It's called Gone, Chapter 1. We started with the first chapter. Thought that was kind
of
smart.
We started the first of the book, not the end.
So it's a little kind of SHTF prepper fiction short film type thing. It's kind of fun. So please go check it out. We want to do Chapter 2, don't we?
We really
do. We want to, but we're not going to do it until that sucker gets like 5,000 views.
Yep.
And when it does...
So same time next year, Chapter 2 is going
to
come out.
Exactly, yeah. So if you want to see more of that, share it, like it, comment, subscribe. Yeah. Whatever you got to do to get more views on that thing, do it.
It's up to you.
It's not up to us.
It's totally up to
you. It's totally up to you. So go check it out. Gone, Chapter 2.
Listen.
Chapter 1.
Reviews starts now.
I'm thinking Chapter 2. Like, we got to do Chapter 2.
I have a feeling we're going to have Chapter 2.
Yeah, just I can feel it in my bosom.
I just want to talk about it already.
Yeah, so listen to reviews. This one came from iTunes all the way from Sweden.
It's crazy.
Can you believe it? The Swedes.
Is iTunes called iTunes in Sweden?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I really like the title of this. It's 5 stars. I think he went to say funny as hell, but he actually wrote funny ass hell.
I just barely realized that.
Funny ass hell and educating at the same time.
I just barely realized that.
So I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but I hope it wasn't on purpose.
I see ass all day, and I just don't even know how to recognize it.
Funny ass hell. Yeah, so he says, guys are funny as hell to listen to. Make some really good points. A bit American, but it works, and you can get your own stuff out of it. So it's good for reflecting on your own way. Double thumbs up.
Cool.
So, thanks. That's Marif Fran.
That's awesome. It's pretty cool to see from across the world.
Yeah.
Because I thought nobody liked Americans anymore.
I
guess he doesn't like us.
He doesn't necessarily like him. He said it was a bit American, so.
And I don't blame you.
Yeah, I don't blame you either.
It's a mad, mad world.
You want to?
Go ahead.
Okay. I have two things real quick. I'm gonna go real quick.
Okay.
I didn't want to be greedy here and take up too much time, but these are worth talking about. So, aliens are real, folks.
I'm just looking at those these links.
These things have really happened. So these are two recent sightings of UFOs, and I want to talk about. So the first one, two UFOs were seen entering the volcano in Japan.
What?
Yeah. Apparently they
Japanese
hide.
Can't be happy about that.
How much... I mean, there's not a better place on Earth to hide.
There really isn't.
Than to go straight into a volcano.
Like, you do like some of those heat, you know, cameras. You won't see nothing.
You won't.
And just a bunch of big blob.
I know. It's like Airwolf. They're like, they probably watch Airwolf and they're like, hey, we're going to go down in there too.
Yeah.
I think Airwolf's the one where they helicopter hit down in the
I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah, this guy, he claims that he has seen these UFOs going down inside the volcano, and he had said his name is Scott C. Waring. He's a, he's an alien hunter.
Oh, he's an alien hunter. Oh.
I don't think he's a hunter to kill him.
Oh, just
I think
like,
he hunts for facts and artifacts. And
I see.
So it was reported on Twitter by a person that believed it to be a meteor strike into the mouth of a volcano. Man, what a better place for a meteor to hit.
Just the best.
Right down the mouth
just
of the volcano.
Just absorb it right into the lava. You know?
Most people won't even notice.
No.
He found proof that that is 100% two alien aircraft entering an underground base.
Proof?
How do you ask? Easy. A focus on a smaller UFO on the left.
Oh.
So he zoomed in.
Yeah.
Adjusted some contrast.
Oh, well,
and
yeah.
And he said it's a cube-shaped UFO.
Oh,
so why would it be cube?
Aerodynamically, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
It doesn't, but they have technology that he says is million years ahead of us. Not like 100 or 200.
A million.
Millions, actually.
Wow.
He said that the cube-shaped one. okay, that's funny. He also added contrast to the round meteor, and guess what? He found that the center is cubic. UFO disguised as a meteor.
Whoa.
So why would you pretend to be something you're not? They have rules, and then they come to Earth, they have to be disguised as well, so they don't attract any attention. So
that makes sense.
It's like a prepper UFO.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He's like the gray man alien.
So, anyways, we get visited more than anybody even knows, and apparently they go right down inside a volcano where no one's going to go anyway.
That
so
makes sense.
Pretty dang stealthy.
Wow.
The other thing is this is older, so I guess this isn't new, but a report from the CIA March 27, 1993 reported that in 1991 the when he lost power, the KGB files made their way into the CIA, and there's a 250-page report about an alien invasion. So this UFO landed. Five short humanoids with large heads and large black eyes got out. This was in the report.
Yeah.
Two soldiers said to have survived, who described how, after emerging from the debris, because they shot it down.
Oh, they shot it down. Okay.
They came out of the debris, and these five beings... they merged into a brilliant white spherical ball of light and that buzzed and hissed and exploded, and 23 soldiers instantly turned into stone.
What?
So these stone soldiers were taken, and they're still in Russia somewhere.
Wow.
Anyways, this is a mad world. Mad universe. Whew,
that's insane.
Because these are reports I had never seen.
I had
And yet. Just recently... we found out that they hide in volcanoes.
That's news to me.
So, good luck, Northwest.
Yeah.
And Hawaii.
Yeah. You're done.
You're like hubs.
Exactly. Wow.
Crazy. Anyway.
That's news to me, man.
I know.
That's mine is less salacious than yours, I think. But I read an article talking about what Trump did recently, which is actually a really good thing. So, this is Mad, Mad World, but it's in a good way. Trump on Tuesday, so I think this was last Tuesday or the Tuesday before, I'm not 100% sure, signed an executive order directing federal agencies to identify the threats posed by potential electromagnetic pulses, which are believed to be potentially dangerous to critical infrastructure like the electric grid, and find ways to guard against them. So senior administration officials told reporters during a call Tuesday that the order will direct federal agencies to coordinate in assessing the threats that EMPs pose and find ways to prevent their impact.
Dang, Trump the prepper.
I know, dude. I'm just saying, that's actually really good.
It is smart, because I think that's one of the most likely things to happen.
Yeah, and so that's actually some good news on the prepper-related front, on the Mad Mad World front. So there you go, guys.
That's even better.
Let's start this out good.
UFOs, we can't touch them.
Mm-mm.
Disguised as meteors.
Exactly. Guys,
all right.
Okay, here it is. SHTF Communications. This has been long awaited and much asked for, but I don't know if we're giving it to you exactly the way you want it. But you're getting it anyway.
You're going to get it from this direction.
Shut your mouth and open your ear holes, because it's coming. So SHTF Communications, there's so many aspects to this. We just decided to break this down into a bunch of little pieces and give you every aspect that we think might be important. There might be some stuff
the more
we've
common,
missed.
The more affordable, the
exactly.
most likely.
Yeah, the most likely. So there really, when it comes down to it, there's four types of communications in for a prepper or for like an SHTF situation. The first one is like pre-communications. We're going to talk about that real soon. This is the all that communication that happens before there's even an event, right? Mm-hmm. So right now, this is pre-communications. I mean,
so
us talking to you.
So voice box is pre-communication.
Well, yeah, it is. But I'm talking about planning. Before the event, right? Mm-hmm. This is things that happens before then. Then there's listen-only communications. And we're going to talk about that as well. It's really obvious what that is. That's like
this
a radio.
This is one that all husbands can't do.
Yeah, we cannot listen only. Then there's local communication. And then there's long range. So those are kind of the four areas that we're going to talk about. And there's several in each of those.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So kind of break it down a little bit. So grid goes down, earthquake, canes or whatever, mm-hmm. level cell towers, boom, you're kind of have, not everybody happens to be in a local area that you're wanting to communicate with.
Yes. Yeah.
Unless you live maybe a house behind your parents and then your kids are going to live behind you. And
it might happen.
Stacks way back.
Exactly.
But most time you're going to want to reach out to loved ones and you're going to be limited. Kobe will talk a little more about like cell phone stuff. And that's probably going to be your first thing. But how do you communicate with them and how do you get out to them and how do you keep communication with your local resources and, mm-hmm. and facilities and things like that and know what's going on outside of your community. So we're going to talk about some of those ways to do so. And yeah. Even when your cell phone gets knocked out, you got other ways to do it.
Exactly. So like I said, the first section is pre-communication. And the biggest thing I think with pre-communications is having a plan. That's between you, your family, and your group.
Yeah.
What is your plan? I mean, and the biggest thing you can do is just make an emergency plan, especially with your immediate family, but also with a group. Cam and I have started talking about this and starting to figure it out.
Communication's easy to fall by the wayside because, you know,
it is, yeah.
It's not like food to keep you alive, water to keep you alive, things like that. So,
But it's going to be really
important.
critical
it really is
in certain situations it's going to be more critical than your food, you know what I mean? So let's start with an emergency plan. Most people don't have an emergency plan. Most people don't have we know this, most people aren't prepared for any disaster, but if you can develop a plan with your group and your family, you can make your communications during an event like that much better, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, you know, get an emergency contact list, especially if you have little kids. This is really important. Have a list of people they can contact, and have the numbers there and alternates for each of those so they know, okay, if a disaster happens, I can't get a hold of mom, I can't get a hold of dad, who do I go to next, right?
Right.
I mean, this is pre-communications.
And even my kids that are so little, they don't have phones and stuff.
Exactly.
How are they going to get into mine? Do they know the passcode?
Yes.
I don't want them to have the passcode.
So who are you gonna contact? How are you gonna contact them? And what if you can't reach them? What are your contingencies on those things? It's actually really, really simple to do. And it doesn't take really very long to do that.
Contact people?
Well, to make this list, to make this plan,
yeah.
Right? So you can go to the CDC or the Red Cross. They both have really good checklists, printouts,
excellent.
Plans.
Clean.
Yeah.
It's just like boom, go through it.
Yeah. So this, to me, is the basis, the starting point for all communications plans. Everybody might not agree with that, but I really think it is a really good way to start. So once stuff happens, everybody is at least has a direction to go instead of just like, oh, crap, stuff's going down. What now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least you have a little bit.
Yeah, everybody's so 100% reliant on a cell phone.
Yeah.
And that's
Let's talk about
in
cell
many
phones.
Different ways. Yeah,
yeah.
Overwhelmed. So go ahead. Yeah.
So cell phones are what we use every day, right? I mean, we're on them freaking constantly, like way too much, all of us. But they're great for communication, especially right now.
Yeah, in every
day,
way.
Right? In every way. And I think that in a lot of situations, it's still going to be your first go to when there's an SHTF situation that goes down. Right? There's just a few things you need to be aware of because they're not the best to be relied upon in a lot of situations. Cell towers need power to operate. And so that becomes an issue, especially in, you know, hurricane or tornadoes or whatever it might be. the FCC actually mandates that wireless carriers include backup electric power at most cell sites. That's most, right? Therefore, most towers have battery backup, but it's only going to back them up for 2 to 4 hours most of the time. Some of them have generators. So you can't rely on those, especially in a long-term situation. They're going to be gone, right?
Well, look at them standing there. I don't even know how they keep them up in the air.
I don't know how they do it.
It looks like you go and cut one cable and the whole thing
comes down. And then it's not even a question of those towers working. Even if the towers are working and there's an event, they're really easily overloaded, you know? And so if there's an event and everybody's trying to call mom and grandma, what's going
to
happen?
Continue to stream Netflix and YouTube.
Exactly. You got to watch Bird Box as Bird Box is going on outside. You know what I mean?
How do I get through this?
Yeah. Sandra Bullock knows how. And so it's really...
Hurry and download all my photos really, before they get lost in the cloud.
Put that to the cloud. It's just... You know, they're going to be overloaded really, really quick with everybody trying to call everybody, you know, during hurricane.
And this flat out happened, right?
I mean, absolutely. During Hurricane Sandy, roughly 1 in 4 cell towers went out. 70% of the towers went down in Katrina and they were down for 4 days.
70%. Geez.
Yeah. So.
And those are like high. Those are areas. You come to the West and you got spots that you're not going to get cell service. You're like,
you just know
the tower down or is it not built?
Am I in the middle of freaking nowhere?
But over there, you know, there's probably one every what?
I don't know.
100 miles.
You would think so.
That. 50 miles.
And I think you put even in here.
I just added that because I thought it was
County,
the new stuff. I never really knew.
County in Texas reported nearly 95% of its cell towers were out of commission after Hurricane Harvey. 95%. So that's freaking insane. So if you get into a situation where maybe the cell towers are still up, but everything is overloaded, there's a few things that you can do. Obviously, a text is going to go through much easier than a voice call because it's way more data for the tower to send through than a text. The text is really tiny. You know, it can go through. It might take a little while, but at least you can get it through. And sometimes
what about GIFs?
A GIF is a little harder, but it's
in trouble right now.
It's like some guy
trying to send your emojis. Come on.
What's going on?
How am I family?
They won't
know?
Take it. You know, and then sometimes, you know, email and social media might even be easier. You just don't know. You're going to have to check those things.
Yeah, true.
You know, Facebook actually has a safety check feature. I know a lot of you preppers out there don't use Facebook, but it is a good way to just say, all right, I'm all right to people that are outside of the area. Yeah. So when there's a disaster, you can say, I'm safe in this disaster.
And
yeah, exactly. Share. Please be my friend. I lived through it. So you can do that. So people out of the area, if they can't get in touch with you, like via a phone call, at least they can see, oh, he's not dead. Everything's good. I don't want to worry about
it. In the eye of a tornado right now.
Yeah.
Love you all.
Everything looks really cool.
Sand.
About ready to die. Okay. Right now.
Got a few minutes.
Yeah. I'm going to go live. Hey.
In the eye of a tornado. I didn't have as much time as I thought.
Sorry. So, you know, using your cell phone is obviously the first thing you're going to try to do if you can. But this also means that you need to keep that cell phone charged. So having a battery backup charging device is a key for any like EDC kit, any get home bag, any bug out bag.
If you're going to be in a situation where the cell towers are overwhelmed or out of commission, you're going to not have power probably.
Probably not. Or, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. Or you might not be back at home or have a chance to charge your phone. Maybe you're out saving kitty cats in the water.
Maybe at night you didn't push the cord in quite far.
I've done that before.
Modern man usually plugs in everybody's
lights. Pisses you off.
You'll figure that out.
Yeah, you'll figure that out next week. So, you know, Cam and I both have the Gulu charger that we got off of Amazon that we love.
It's so nice.
And it's awesome too because it can also jump your vehicle and it has a light on it. And I mean, you can get them anywhere from $50 to $100 on Amazon. Or Cam even has the KTOR pocket socket USB.
Yeah, dude, it's in my truck.
It's a hand cranker.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you forever to charge your phone, and you burn calories while you do it.
It's a little more efficient than your dollar store hand crank stuff, but it's still going to cost you a lot of cranking.
So cell phones, obviously, very good, very useful. Have cell phones. Rely on them when you can, but they're not going to be the most reliable in an SHTF situation. But take that as you know. Whatever you can use from that, take it.
Right.
So the next option is a landline, and this is something a lot of people don't even have anymore. So for some people, won't be an option, but they're going to be more reliable. They will. Most of those actually have local backups as well as backups at the hubs. I'm not an expert at this, so they have long established backup generator systems already in place at your local hub. See, I read that. That was right.
So does that mean? You're just going to be able to probably communicate within your
Well, you should be able to get a phone call out.
Call Domino's, get the pizza delivered.
Yes, You can do that, yeah. So that should at least, if the power's out, it should keep it up for at least a week. So you know that that's going to be good, as long as, you know, wires and cables don't get cut. You know, you might even be able to find a public payphone.
Yeah.
There are actually some left.
And I was like, is there any left?
There actually are. And you can go to payphone-directory.org, and you can see all of the payphones in your area.
Wow.
So actually, I think that's not a bad idea to
Most of them are like ripped out of the, the cables have been...
But they do have some out there, but you could see which ones are in your town. Is there some by your kid's school? Is there some by your work, by your house? Say, okay, that's a contingency. If I know that my cell phone's not working or whatever, I can run to there. I can get a call out if I need to, you know? So it's not a bad way.
When I was in Brazil, they had like those massive like monsoon things and everybody was out without power and the phones did. They all worked fine.
Yeah, exactly.
All the pay phones, which was crazy.
So anyways, a landline would be a great backup to your cell phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of the more common, when you think of like a communication device that you're going to take with you, portable, the walkie-talkie is always like, oh, I got one of those.
Yeah.
And it's a real simple way to communicate, to not talk like this over a short distance. So they say on there, you know, like 2 to 5. I think I've only ever gotten maybe half a mile on one. And I've used
out on Midland the salt flats. And, but you can see 19,000 miles. You get about a half a mile.
Yeah. When you're standing up on
your car. I can hear you in real life, but it's not coming through on the radio.
So don't rely heavily on these to be anything to travel very far. I've never used like those big, huge brick, like Vietnam style. I don't even know if those
with the backpack.
Yeah. I ain't used one of those. No. But they're real basic. So there's two types of so-called walkie-talkies. The GMRS, the General Mobile Radio Service. Those actually require a license, and they work the same way. They can go a lot further. That's kind of like the ones I was talking about.
It's
with
like
the military
businesses usually use those and stuff, right?
So you do have to have a license to operate one of those, because they have
license like $80, $85 or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I saw. It's like $75, $80. And then it has 30 channels versus 22 for your standard FRS service, which is your family radio service.
Mm.
Your basic family radio service.
Yes.
Is what the common walkie-talkies use. Close range. Like I said, I could be a little wrong on some of this, but anyway, you've got your walkie-talkie that broadcasts over 22. It's not secure. Mm-hmm. Everybody on Earth can hear it. If you have a baby monitor on, it's going to pick it up.
Yeah.
So, but... They're really easy to use. They're you know, I got one right here.
Yeah, you do.
In the video. So we've gotten two sets. The Midland ones, they're like some of my favorites.
Midlands have been
The Motorola's have sucked for me.
See, anyway. I had Cobras.
Oh, no.
I didn't have good luck with the Cobras.
My kids have some Kawasaki ones, and they sure don't do much.
My kids have some Power Ranger ones. They work pretty good.
They're watch ones that flip open. But they're the basics. Mm-hmm. They're the basic of basic communication device, in my opinion. You know, you just find the same channel, and then
I think they're great to have, though.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, they're cheap, and a good set isn't going to cost you that much. Even if if you use survival boxes or battle box, you're probably going to get one at some point.
Yeah, at some point. We've
gotten a couple through there.
Cam and I each have a set of these, and we've been able to reach each other from our houses on them. And we're maybe a mile away.
Yeah.
What did we say? Half mile, mile? I mean, we're not that far.
You're probably about a mile.
Yeah.
Mile and a half.
So
1.27 miles.
Yeah. And we're able to reach each other. So it's kind of one of our, part of our plan.
We're going to go to this channel if we can't reach each other other ways.
Exactly.
Then the other nice thing is that it isn't secure. And if you're trying to see if there's anybody around you, just scan your channels and you're going to pick something up. Maybe aliens.
You never know. exactly.
You know what movie that is.
I do.
But yeah, there's a broad spectrum of different types of radios and how far they'll go. This is just your basic way of communicating. So yeah.
Sure radio. Is. Yeah.
There's really not more to talk about on the old walkie-talkie.
So one of the next things I want to talk about, listen only, and this was part of that four parts of your communication plan. Listen only, survival radio. Basically, it's a radio, guys. Yeah. You guys know what a radio
is. We're all in the radio category right now.
Yeah, you listen to the radio. So everybody on the face of the planet should have one of these. I don't care what anyone says. We've already had somebody give us crap on the short film that, like, hey, you listen to the radio, but you didn't use the ham radio. And I'm like, come on. The easiest way, the easiest and fastest, flip on the radio.
You immediately use the best of the best.
Yeah, flip on the radio. You're going to get local as well as national news direct to your radio. Nobody knows you're listening. You know, it's really cheap. You got to get one, right? Especially if, like, the internet's out, the power's out, you're still going to be able to get a radio signal most of the time. And that really depends on the radio you have too. So I really suggest getting something that is a combo power type. So crank, solar, battery, all those things. And the one that Cam has right over there on the table, the Kato Voyager, it is that style. It has a light. It's got USB chargers. Yeah. It's crank. It's solar. Nice.
I think I broke it. It comes with a lot of different ways to charge it, and you can charge other devices off from the hand crank. So
yeah,
and that is affordable.
It's $50.
I think slap all that into CB radio.
And this one's also expensive. It's an NOAA radio, which means that this one will actually auto receive alerts. So there's a radio service that transmits weather and marine forecasts where applicable and other related information without any interruptions. In addition, NWR, the NOAA weather radio, works in cooperation with the FCC's emergency alert system, providing comprehensive severe weather alerts and civil emergency information. So you know that these are going to go out to these types of radios. In conjunction with federal, state, and local emergency managers and other public officials, NWR has the ability to broadcast alerts and post event information for all types of hazards, including earthquakes, avalanches, chemical releases, oil spills, nuclear power plant emergencies, amber alerts, 911 outages. All those types of things can go out on this NWR. So listening to an NOAA radio station requires a special radio receiver or scanner. So they're on these special frequencies, which are on the range of 162.400 megahertz through 162.550 megahertz. And that is the NOAA weather channels, right? The weather band is what they call it.
I love the weather band.
You do. Their first album was amazing. So, for example, a receiver that only gets FM or AM, it's not going to work. You're not going to get the weather band stuff. So you're going to want to make sure that you have one of these types of radios. So you can look for the public alert, or the NOAA All Hazards logo on the radio. And that way you know that you're going to get these types of alerts. You got to have one. And when it happens, you're going to hear a tone, and they'll send out a 1050 hertz tone alarm before broadcasting most warnings and many watch messages. The alarm will activate all receivers equipped to receive it, even if the audio is turned off. So that's the cool thing about these. So it's really nice to have one of those at night. So if there's an alert in the middle of the night, it'll pop on and you can hear it, right? So you have to have an emergency radio. I don't care what kind of prepper you are. You have to have one.
Yeah, you do.
You have to have one.
There's no reason not to.
No, there's not.
They're all over the place.
Exactly. They're really easy. They're really cheap. And they're really, really critical. Another type of radio that's receive only, listen only, is shortwave radios. Have you ever heard about those, Cameron? They're kind of cool.
Not long wave.
No, they're specifically designed to receive radio stations from everywhere around the world.
Wave on it too.
What does it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it really?
Yeah,
interesting.
Shortwave one, shortwave.
Wow. So basically, you can get radio stations from all around the world: Australia, China, all the countries you can think of.
Those aren't a short distance away.
They're not. They're a long ways away. So a shortwave radio is kind of a nice thing to have too, because you can get information from across the globe with just clicking on your radio.
Yeah.
You know.
And most of them have that. I mean, like this one, I think it's kind of combined into a lot of the different radio types.
Exactly.
Which is super cool.
It is. Hey, Cam, real quick, can we talk about SurvivaGuard?
You go ahead.
SurvivaGuard is the ultimate vitamin formula for emergency preparedness, survival, and life. You will have confidence in the knowledge that you are getting 100% of all 13 essential vitamins and 8 essential minerals, 11 super antioxidants, healthy omega-3 fish oils, and a unique proprietary NutriPrep blend for physical and mental emergency preparedness. We are confident that you will experience a better overall sense of well-being, more energy with enhanced alertness, and increased ability to concentrate with greater endurance, and you will be best prepared physically and emotionally for whatever situations you face, no matter how extreme. Use coupon code CASUALPREPPERS for 20% off your order, guys, at SurvivaGuard.com. You're going to get long-term shelf life vitamins. They're going to fill in those gaps that your gross food is going to not give you. You're not getting it all.
MRE gross food.
Yeah. So go to survivalguard.com. Use our code Casual Preppers.
Yes, please.
Okay, Cameron. Another very popular radio type is CB radio, right?
Yeah.
And CB stands for Citizens Band Radio. And we all know who uses this mostly.
Citizens.
Citizens. It's truckers, right? Yeah. Truckers on the road.
Oh, yeah.
If you've ever been on the road and you had a CB, you can listen to them suckers talking dirty all day long. Most of them are just dirty men. I'll tell you that right now. But they're really simple to use. They're really easy to use. You don't need a license. They're cheap. They're mobile. And it's a direct line of communication to what's happening on the road in your proximity, right? They don't have a really, really long range, and it kind of depends on your line of sight. But I think a CB is a great thing to have. It's just another layer of communications in one of those situations, right?
I've actually wanted one, but I don't have one.
Yeah, I used to have one in my old Jeep, and I don't have one anymore. I should probably get another one. And
you can get a stationary one right in your house. I mean,
Yep, you can. Or you can
get portable
handheld ones. I mean, you can get whatever you want, and they're really, really
cheap. So you can get a Cobra CB radio at Walmart for $38.
Yes.
So those are cheap.
So CB radios work on AM modulation similar to AM broadcasting, and the range is again limited to a couple of miles. So just really, really depends on, you know, your antennas and your radio and your line of sight, what you're going to get. They have a limited spectrum of 40 channels, you know, and as with the walkie-talkies, expect everyone and their neighbor to be listening to your conversation. You have no privacy, but you can get out and reach people really, really easily. There's one thing about CB.
So CBs and walkie-talkies do not use the same?
No.
I don't know that for sure.
I don't think so, no.
But I'm pretty sure they don't.
Yeah. So with CBs, there's one thing about them that you got to know. You kind of have to learn a new language.
There's a little lingo.
There's lingo, and it's weird to listen to sometimes. I used to drive with truckers all the time, and you're just like, why? I used to work taking oversized loads over the highway.
I'm gonna go ride with him real quick.
We're just,
honey, I'm gonna go across the country.
I'm just heading down that rest stop and get in with this trucker. No big deal.
I just like to ride with you guys.
So yeah,
love semis. They're my favorite.
Can I see your semi?
Since I was a kid, I love pushing semis around. Can I ride in there with you?
I like to see your gear shift and whatnot. So yeah, they have their own language, and so I grabbed a few of these so you guys could have a little head start in your CB lingo. All right, Cameron.
Okay, you never ready? Heard of these, so go ahead.
Number one, town clown. You ever heard what a town clown? Hey, you got a town clown coming up on you,
nope.
Driver. It's a local
it's
police
not the guy
officer
on the side.
No,
it's like spinning his
no. It's the local police officer. They call him a town clown.
Right. Oh, awesome.
Have you ever heard a trucker go, hey, I got to stop and get me a little bit of motion lotion?
No, but it sounds dirty.
It does. No, it's just fuel.
No.
That's okay. The motion lotion, right? That makes sense. An organ donor. That's a motorcyclist without a helmet on. That's what they call him.
That makes total sense.
Yeah. The next one is fighter pilot. Hey, driver, we got a fighter pilot coming up behind you. It's like, what? What are you talking about? A fighter pilot is a driver who is constantly changing lanes. It's like, you know?
Whoa, he's in and out.
Yeah. The last one I got is angry kangaroo. That's one I never heard of before.
That was awesome.
It's a vehicle with a headlight out, apparently.
Man, it's those times when I've seen those coming like down a country road. You're like, oh, it must be going to change water. And then almost takes your mirror off.
Yeah,
you're like,
I know.
Oh, no. Jeez. Angry kangaroos. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's good. That gives you a big old head start.
I know.
So
anyway, CB radio, it's just, like I said, it's another layer of communication to another group of people that's relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
And you don't have to have a license, so you might as well. And that's, again, local communication. It's not long range.
Right. They have all kinds of nice, fancy models and everything.
They do, yeah.
But cheapo, you can get one in your house today.
Yeah, sure.
Today. All right.
Use our code.
Let's get into the sensitive subject for all you hardcore preppers. I hope I don't offend you. I'm going to talk about ham radio.
Yeah, so again, we are not ham.
Not at all.
We don't have licenses.
Which is embarrassing, but
we've just looked into it. We know that it's something we need to do.
I am going to get it this year. Mark my word.
Okay. I've already looked into it.
I looked in the book.
I hope you do.
I'm going to do it.
Okay, good.
So I can communicate with somebody else other than Kobe. Because But no, so ham radio is amateur radio. You got to be more than just a beginner to use ham radio.
So what's professional radio?
I don't know.
Is that like Rush Limbaugh? Or
I don't know
what it is.
That's a serious.
That's serious. Oh, satellite radio.
So serious.
Or is it podcasting?
That's true. That's we're at the top. We're going to go back a little bit.
We're at the top of that pyramid.
So one thing that's interesting is I always thought that HAM was actually an acronym. It's not. Mm. So it's often shown as all caps, and that's not accurate. But don't worry about it. It's not a big deal.
No big deal.
But it's not an acronym for anything. So so ham radio is the choice of prepper. It's the top. I mean, it's your first draft pick for preppers.
Yeah, it's like the Michael Jordan
prepper. Yeah, it's the top rated. And hopefully I can explain why it's kind of the top rated. One thing about ham radio, just real quick of where it came from, I thought this was interesting too. It was kind of the Morse code guys, they thought the ham radio guys were a bunch of idiots and were kind of like made fun of them. They're like, oh, a bunch of ding-dongs that don't know how to use Morse code.
Yeah.
And they call them, they're like ham-fisted. Like,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And so ham radio was like the kind of the shamed type of communication back in the day. So once the invention of radio and amateur experimentation, it became used more and more and became more of a... kind of a gold standard way of communicating.
Yeah.
And it still is used today. And there's tons of groups that use ham radios, still training, obviously. But it does. The one thing about ham radio is you're probably going to find more people on it in a survival situation. Mm-hmm. Well, you will probably than any other, even Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
Probably not that much. But anyway, so amateur radio. Here's some of the pro things about it. It is affordable now, and it can be even as big as like this. I mean, this is the size of a walkie-talkie. I always thought it was like this military, the back of the truck type radio system that had, you know, a spinning satellite on top. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, it's portable, looks just like a walkie-talkie, and then you've got tons more ability. You can pick up on all kinds of different frequencies.
And obviously, that's the low end.
Yeah. Other thing is the how far you can broadcast. Mm-hmm. So with repeaters, and repeaters can be used in all types of radios. You know, it doesn't have to be only a repeater for ham radio. Anyway, you can broadcast from local to within your state to across the world with ham radio, which is pretty crazy. So it was used during Katrina for people to communicate. The only downside to ham radio is that you do have to get licensed on it. Yeah. And there's a reason. I mean, it's super confusing and complex, and there's private frequencies that, you know, you can't just use whatever, like a walkie-talkie. You can't flip through to channel 22 but just start talking.
If you don't have a license, you can listen.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Okay.
So if you do have one like us and don't have a license, it's still useful for a listen only. You can pick up radio and everything else on it. So if you just want a little nice looking radio and hope you'll get a license like us, it's there. It's available.
That's right.
So there's three different licenses. There's a technician license, which is a 35 question test after you study and learn about just kind of the basics of shortwave communication and how the ham radio works, how to dial in. I mean, for one, I've got this ham radio here and I can't even get it off Chinese mode. So
that's so awesome.
So there's a lot more to learn about them. Beyond that is the general class license. It grants more operating privileges on different bands and operating modes. It's open door to worldwide communication. So the technician doesn't have as much range. You typically will be communicating within your country, mostly like locally. General goes beyond that. And so obviously there has to be some law and some guy, you know, you can't just be communicating with Russia.
Yeah. And I don't think the FCC really regulates that a lot other than like other ham operators.
They have some basics where that they impose some new ones on the.
Yeah. But I think it's mostly self-regulated by ham. Like they'll say, hey, this dude doesn't have a license.
And you're probably surely going to find somebody that's get off this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I guarantee it.
And then beyond that is a 50 question exam. So by the way, on these, you can't just go, I'm going to jump right to the amateur extra license. You have to go technician, then general, then amateur extra license. So this one conveys all available U.S. amateur radio operating privileges on all bands and all modes. This is like the skeleton key of the ham radio.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want with it. It's a little more difficult. It's a bigger test. And then you got to know all the basics before it to get that license.
Sure. Yeah.
But you're going to be able to communicate with many more people, and you're going to have a lot better, you know, feel of what's going on in the country and worlds and things like
and
that.
Other
countries.
We're at the Mars.
I mean, I've been communicating with Neptune, and there's stuff going on there you guys don't even want to know about.
You think our disasters are bad.
Try a nitrous oxide cloud.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's just bad.
And the good thing about it is a lot of ham radio operators do have prepper mindsets. So they're all out there. They're ready for disasters. They want to help people in those situations. Many of them have battery backups for all their stuff.
Yeah.
So that's why they're going to be up more than other people too, right?
Yeah, so you've got these like hubs and these locations that are ready to go. And the nice thing about getting your license is, and I'm soon to learn this, but obviously, it's going to give you a lot better ability to navigate through all those radio systems and how to be more secure. So one thing about ham radio, too, is that you could broadcast on one channel and receive on the other. So if somebody was to listen in, like
you can only get half the situation.
Yeah, I heard him talk about this, but I don't know what that guy said.
Yeah.
So there is a little added security to the use of a ham radio. The other thing that's real important is you could come in contact with your dead dad. There was a firefighter back in.
That's right. You could. So stupid.
You never know.
It's like my wife's Kobe favorite movie.
Hates that show.
Gosh.
But yeah, there's certain frequencies that are used for emergencies, and like I said, you don't have to have your license to listen in, but you'll have the ability to know which channels to look for and things like that. So
yeah,
that's a real basic rundown of ham radio. There's a ton that goes into it, and it gets pretty. This is like enthusiasts.
Oh yeah,
like, this is a hobby. And I didn't want to touch on it too much because I just don't know that much about it. But it's available. Get your license, and you will be like the ultimate prepper communicator.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So. And so there's some really easy ways to actually get your study for your test. There's a bunch of apps that are made just for studying, so that makes it a little easier. And there's some audiobooks and things like that too. So.
But I'm telling you, I'm going to get it this year.
Good.
I'm going to tell you guys how hard it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
We're going to move on to some different types of radios. Mm-hmm. I just was kind of the quick little rundown. So you've got your, this little thing here. So, your ham radios, very long distances. You got many frequencies, communicate directly with local emergency responders, which is huge. Mm-hmm. It does require a license. It's more expensive, a little higher learning curve, and it's the ultimate way to go. CB radios, no license required, many channels up to 50 mile range, which isn't that kind of excessive?
It seems like it, but I guess it's possible
with repeaters and stuff. Yeah. Channels often busy and noisy. Most of the time it's limited to about 3 to 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
FRS, which is your walkie talkies, no license, low learning curve, very short range. And usually there's a lot of crappy products out there.
Yeah.
And then your GMRS does require a license, and it's more of like a glorified walkie-talkie up to 25-mile range. Good sound quality, not a lot of noise, and then you can communicate with your FRS radios, your regular walkie-talkie. So there's just a quick rundown.
Very cool.
Radios.
Yeah, I like that. Let's talk about mesh systems, Cameron.
Yeah, let's do. I've got them right there. So this was new to us. We got sent some GoTenna mesh radio, nodes.
Yep, last year.
Yeah, right? So we have a video on our channel.
It's
about
a very basic video.
It is very basic. I'm going to take them this weekend up into the mountains and do a little more extended testing, see how far I can go. So the mesh network's pretty dang cool. It doesn't require a cell phone, satellite, it doesn't need to be plugged in or anything. It uses its own battery. No towers or anything. It's basically just using these nodes to bounce off each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then you connect. So you do need your cell phone though. for most of them, there's some other ones that have some different ways that you can, but for the most part, you have to use your app on your phone to communicate with these devices. And then, so a mesh network is just basically using these like nodes on, like a spider web. You think you got these little endpoints, and then between them, they just bounce and relay messages. Yep. It's as simple as that. I mean, that technology I could have come up with.
Did you?
I don't know why I didn't. But you can text on them. They have GPS locations. You can download maps, you know, be ahead of time, and then you can use those to coordinate where you're at. And they're encrypted messages. So you can do like an open, you can send a message out to anybody that's connected to the network.
Yep.
Even if you have it not secured. But I think, isn't there like a guest to join or something like that?
I'm not 100% sure. I know that of these that are out there in your area, the wider your network becomes. Yeah. It basically just uses whoever has more of these as part of your mesh network. It just keeps growing and growing. And you can buy additional ones and set them up at intervals throughout wherever you're trying to go. And it can, you can so basically go as far as you want.
They're a little pricey. It's what is it? $179 for two?
Is that how much? I don't
remember. For these ones, there's like two different models, but the thing that's awesome, like Kobe said, is if you get your group to have these, you could go all these different directions and bounce off from each other's things and widen your area of communication.
Yep.
And it's secure. The other option is these are Gotenna's. You have Beartooth, which uses the exact same technology, but they actually will allow you to talk over that network,
that's
which
cool,
is pretty dang cool. And their device is like a battery pack, so you can charge your cell phone off from it to keep using it. And then there's another device, another company, Sonae, or is it Sonnet or Sonae?
I don't know.
Anyway, they're like a little hexagon looking thing, and it works the same, but they allow you to record a message onto it.
That's cool.
And video, you can upload like a video to it, which is kind of cool because it's like if you connect that person for some reason you can't get a hold of, they've left a message for you.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's kind of like a treasure hunt. It's pretty cool.
The cool thing is just, again, another layer of communication that you can have when if something else goes out.
You got
another contingency.
You've got a mesh system. I mean, if you've got a variety of ways to communicate, which you should, then you really don't need to worry about too much. So satellite phones are, these get a little bit, this is where you get real pricey, but your ability probably is maxed out if you have one of these as well.
They're nice. I've used some satellite
phones.
Have
you used one?
This year we used them on several hunts as well as when we did the King's Peak thing. Yeah, we had them.
So tell me, how was the...
It was okay.
Wasn't what you expected?
No, I tried to call out several times on the sat phone when we were out in the Book Cliffs and I couldn't get out, and it just kind of depends on like
what
the position
the,
of the satellites.
Do you have any idea who?
I don't.
Who was through?
But then like all of a sudden it would work fantastic. And I just think a lot of it is your location, your, you know, view of the sky. There's a lot of different things, but it's not something that's just like always going to work.
Right.
So
I know. And that's what a lot of people do think is like the satellite phone's the ultimate. You're not going to ever have any problem. The downside to it is if you're in a bunker, you're not going to get anything.
You're not getting anything.
Even in a house, you're going to get really poor quality. You have to have that light Sirius radio and those satellite radios. You have to have a clear direct sight to space.
Mm-hmm.
But so there's a downside there. It's also expensive. Like the device itself between $500 and $1,500.
Yep.
And then you have to have a service plan along.
And they're
with
expensive.
It.
Yeah, they're not cheap. You can rent them though. That's what we were doing. We rented one. Yeah. But
see, we live pretty remote here, like in Vernal. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you were out in the Book Cliffs. It's even
more
the
middle
ultimate
of nowhere.
Middle of nowhere. But it's, you had a clear line of sight. I mean, there's nothing out there.
That satellite's going across. You just don't know exactly where it's at, what's happening.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it works, sometimes it wouldn't. You just didn't know.
So a lot of mariners, you know, boats and stuff, they have like a little beacon you can actually spin to kind of find satellites, and that's the ultimate way to use a satellite phone. Or planes do that, but it's an option. It can be pricey if somebody calls into that on a public line. It's like $10 a minute.
It's not cheap.
There's ways inside the phone that'll allow you to set up that so that, you know, you can call out kind of like a cell phone, but it's not to be used like a cell phone. It's just different in that way. But it has a lot of good qualities. I mean, it's got GPS. You can do, on some of the newer ones, you can do SMS and email, and you can actually use it as a Wi-Fi hub, like a router or a modem. and you can
like a hotspot.
Yep, you can connect your other devices to it to get internet, data, which would be kind of cool. Yeah. Weather monitoring, and some of the top brands, if you want to look at them, Iridium and in Marisat are two like really big brands. The global, there's another one, but it went out of business. It's trying to rebuild itself. So these are the two that I see that are most recommended.
Yeah.
And then you got to find a provider. So it's kind of like a cell service. It does give you a lot, you know, across the world if you're traveling, mm-hmm. but it's going to cost you. So
for sure.
I don't really know, you know, when you have like a provider that's like a ISP type of thing with a satellite, if that place goes down, like, do you lose your satellite phone ability?
I have no idea.
Your SIM card burns up.
Yeah. I don't know.
Starts on fire. So anyway, those are, that's another thing that you can add to, but that's where it gets really pricey. And then with security, stealth, you know, there's ways to do it, but most radio receivers and stuff, it's not very secure. Mm-hmm. People can tap into any of that. Satellite gets a little more secure, but even cell phones aren't that secure.
No, they're not.
So I think the mesh network's one of the better security, like local within your own group ways to be the most secure.
Those are encrypted messages and things like that. So,
Or you could go to Morse code. Not many people know that anymore.
I don't know it.
I don't either.
I wish it did.
Yeah. And then other poor ways to communicate. Kobe has some more details on this, but you know, you could learn how to train pigeons.
You could.
Somebody talked about that. And you could do a Dropbox. You know, I'm going to meet, say we can't get a hold of each other. We got a telephone pole on 1500 East. I'm going to put
buried.
An envelope. Yeah. So those are some primitive ways. And that's why it's so important for that pre-planned communication.
Exactly.
If your radios, your satellite radios, your mesh network all goes down, you still have that last resort of, I'm going to go here and dig up. You want to dig directly into a power line.
Yes. As soon as you feel the shock, you've hit it. You're there.
So anyway.
Yeah. I mean, like Cam was saying, you know, you could use coded communications to, you know, a lot of people get into ciphers and things like that.
I forgot about the bandana.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. Coulter Co. actually has a cipher bandana. So if you each have one of those, you know what cipher you're working off of. You can leave a message for somebody and they don't know exactly what you're saying. There's also really, really simple things. And I think a lot of preppers actually do this. You remember like in A Quiet Place when they came back and all the red lights were on? And then it meant like, crap.
Stuff that was really cool.
So that's obviously like a signal. It's a coded signal though. So like if you come home and there's a yellow ribbon on your front door, you know that, oh crap, I don't want to go home. I need to bug out.
That's cool.
You know what I mean? So again, that's your pre-planned communications that you have to be thinking about all the time. But you know, coded communication is just another level that you can look at. Other considerations I wanted to talk about real quick is radio contact plans. So like Cam and I had a plan like, okay, we can't get in touch with each other. We need to talk with each other during the day. Let's have a plan to know when to get on the radio and, you know, what channel and that type of thing. So there's one that a lot of people use called the 333 plan. It's for preppers use it a lot because it makes sense. It's like the rule of threes.
You know it's all threes.
It's all threes.
Don't mix up numbers.
Don't mix up the numbers. It's all threes. So this is the when, where, and how to make a radio contact after an SHTF event. So
that's cool.
Yeah. So basically what it means is you're gonna go every 3 hours for 3 minutes on channel three, right? So you just every 3 hours, 3 minutes on channel three. So that way you know, okay, I'm going to get back on. And if he's looking to get a hold of me, he's going to get on at the same time and we can talk. Right. So that's just like a basic thing. You and I could have a backup, say, all right, 333 plan. That's going to be our backup. If we can't
Kobe
get in touch
shit 3 days from now, he's going to spend 3 hours
on channel 33. That's what it is.
Three, three, three.
Yeah. And so, and there's
cool.
another one
like that.
And there's a sun based radio plan too, which is the sunrise, noon, and sunset. So basically the first contact interval would be like, right before sunrise and up to an hour after. And the second one would be noon, you know, and then the last one would be sunset. So you could do it that way. Is a little bit easier if you don't know, like if you don't have timekeeping devices and things like that, that you can just go off of those.
That's cool.
Anyways, it's just another thing to think about, you know.
It seems like this is like your hardcore doomsday prepper stuff, but if this plan's in place,
yeah,
there's no way you're not going to be able to communicate unless you're dead.
And what if you have it written down already? Like, true. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go over it constantly. You can at least have it written down for everybody.
Or your family can go through that.
It's exactly. I know what to do.
I want to meet up with Kobe because Cam's dead.
Yes, exactly. Me and Tony already got something worked out.
Yeah, I figured.
That's it. That's
you guys got 333 bracelets and stuff. Yeah. Why do you two have that?
Yeah, it's a ring, really.
Yep.
Third finger.
There you go. I mean, that's the quick and dirty of radios.
It is.
And
communications.
I know people are which is part of the radio service.
Yeah.
It's just communication service. Hope we didn't offend anybody that's like a hardcore hobbyist. Mm. I don't care.
Yeah.
This is the basics.
It is the basics.
We're casual.
Gonna get so many freaking emails. I can already see them coming.
I know.
I can already see them.
And go ahead. I can learn more. That's fine. So thanks.
We're here to learn.
Real quick, I want to talk about survival boxes because I love them.
I do too. I'd love to talk about them.
The only subscription box packed with all the essential survival supplies that you need to prep for surviving disasters, emergencies, or your next outdoor adventure. There are many different boxes to choose from. So you can order the survival food, water, gear required for your survival plan. Sign up today. Get your survival boxes delivered to your doorstep every month. No contracts. Kobe, you can cancel whenever you want.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You
can cancel all day.
I'm not canceling.
But you're not going to cancel.
No, I'm not.
Use promo code CASUALPREPPERS for 10% off from your first box on any subscription. Alpha, beta, or mega gear, whatever boxes. Yeah. Or store order at survivalboxes.com.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way to do it.
It is. It's so simple. So. It's really simple. Guys, we have a quick review. The latest battle box just came out. Are we excited? Yes, we are excited. I'm scared.
Look at this big boy.
Yeah, it's a big old boy. So want to throw me the card and I'll let you show them.
Yes, I'm.
All right. So this is battle box mission 49. We've almost hit 50 missions. The basic box, $67 value. The first one is the BeSmart Get Prepared First Aid Kit, $24.99. I actually already have this kit. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah, it's a really good kit. So
it looks like a, oh my gosh.
Okay, yeah.
North Face. Looks like a North Face jacket.
Yeah. The next one is Zippo Typhoon Matches, and these are some freaking cool matches. Those have you seen cool these things?
Matches, no.
These things, they will stay lit in a typhoon. No doubt.
Sure.
They're crazy.
Look at all that.
You can put them 100 feet under the ocean, they'll still go.
Man, it looks like a pipe bomb.
It does, and it's not, but it looks cool. The next thing is the Lord and Field Trail Notes Leather Notepad, $28 value.
Lord and Field.
Lord and Field.
You can jot down your communication plans.
That's right in there. And the last thing is the Scout Organic Roasted Pumpkin Seeds. I ain't going to lie, they taste like butthole. I kid you not. Try them. You're
going to
try it?
Right now.
Live taste test right here on the podcast.
Ooh, just the air that just went in my mouth. tasted like a fart.
I don't think if it was.
I breathed in many farts.
That one was way worse than any fart.
This one sure tasted like it.
I tasted them and I'm like,
Why are they so dark?
Well, they're flavored. What flavor are they?
These are Texas Sweet Barbecue.
Yeah, that's the ones I got too.
Mmm. Kind of has a chemical-y, tastes like oil.
Yeah. Texas oil.
That's barbecued oil.
Yeah, like barbecued sweet barbecue. Yeah, I can't believe you're eating more of those. That's disgusting.
In a way, they taste good.
Okay, I'm glad for you. Okay, then we're going to go to the advanced box. And this is $107.31 value, and it's the BattleTech Bubby Poncho Liner Blanket Sleeping Bag. $40 value.
It's awesome. My kids call our new baby Bubby.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is a Bubby.
I don't even know how that happened.
It could be a poncho. It could be a blanket. It could be a sleeping bag. Do anything you want.
Pillow.
It could be a body bag. Doesn't matter.
It can be a game.
Yeah. Throw it at your kid's face. Whatever you got to do. And the next one is a Pro Box. It has the Rascal Survive 55 Takedown Bow.
This is freaking awesome.
This is a real bow.
They send a freaking bow.
Yeah. You can take it down. You can throw it in your backpack or on your back.
So here it is.
Yeah.
I'll just show you. Like, you've got your... So, boom, you got this.
Mm-hmm.
You got it together.
You got
like
your
that.
Ends.
Somehow you pull it.
You string it, and then you kill your whitetail.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's awesome.
Beautiful. And then Pro Plus, knife
crazy
of the month.
Crazy to carry a bow in your bug out.
I know.
Nice job.
And it comes with arrows, too. The whole shebang. And the next thing, Pro Plus, knife of the month, Bastion Gear Baron. Sanmai Damascus Steel Carbon Fiber Scales.
This is a
beautiful, beautiful knife.
Beautiful, beautiful yeah, blade.
Solid brass bolster. Can't get solid no better.
Bolster.
Not bolster, solid brass.
This is a really cool
It's a nice looking braid. Knife. Yeah.
Braid. Not a blade.
Braid. Love this braid.
But it's yeah, flip look braid. At this thing. I like that brass. I don't have anything with brass on. Yeah. Isn't brass too expensive?
You're brassless.
But yeah, that Damascus steel.
It's beautiful.
It's so freaking cool.
Yeah, I put a picture of it up on our Instagram a little while ago. Yeah, go check that out. So anyways, there you go. Battle Box. Well done. Killing it.
I mean, less, but way more.
But better.
Like, way better quality stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad they've gone that direction.
I am too.
It's time for the quick and dirty medical.
Kind of had like a lot of random stuff in there before.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like pumpkin seeds.
Hey, these. If you like the taste of rubber and melting like tires,
petroleum, little bite-sized pieces,
and with some barbecue sauce on it,
yeah, okay,
you're gonna love this. So, I just wanted to real quick run down some creams,
lotions,
that I
and
thought
creams.
Would be important.
Okay,
put some lotions on its skin.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
So these are. You're going to run into all kinds of different skin disorders and issues when you're out on your own, hiking, walking, talking.
Or even if you're with people.
Even with you, yeah. If you're around other human beings, you're going to get some sort of rash.
Yeah.
Because all of us are allergic to other human beings.
Mm-hmm. Don't touch people is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, don't.
Don't even look at them.
And no matter the scenario, don't look at them.
Eye contact equals rash.
So these are some creams that I think are very important to have in your kit. Mm-hmm. And they're all readily available today.
Cream of mushroom. Is that one?
Cream of tartar.
Cream of tartar.
Sprinkling on you.
Cream corn.
That's funny. That's good stuff.
That's hilarious.
Okay. Hydrocortisone cream. So cortisone 10, any form. It's great for rashes. The petroleum base itself is going to help seal off wounds.
You said it's great for rashes. I'm like,
I love a rash. A
good rash gets me going, I'll tell you.
A moist, coated in medicine rash is one of the best things.
Red and glistening.
Yep. So that's available.
Yeah, that's nice.
Clotrimazole or Lotrimin. That's a common antifungal. Ringworm, athlete's foot, even yeast infections. Delicious.
With cream of mushroom.
That's not right. cream of mushroom. It might help too. You can rub that on you. It's up to you. Triple antibiotic cream. Polysporin, triple antibiotic, bacitracin, any of those you can get over the counter.
Why is it called triple antibiotic?
Because it has neomycin, polysporin, and God, I can't remember the other one.
You're making up those words.
It has tetramycorrhizosine in it.
Petroleoxygen.
Has CO417.
Yeah.
No, it's three antibiotics.
Makes sense. Makes
and
sense.
And then polysporin's only two, and bacitracin's just one, I think. Maybe just two. Anyway, just get you a common antibiotic cream. You never know.
You don't. I don't know.
Insect repellents. Sawyer sells these.
They do. They're good stuff, too.
So, you know, get you some DEET, eucalyptus, lemongrass, citronella, any of those. Just creams. And then you're going to run into bugs. I guarantee it. They're not going to die. Then you want Fels naphtha soap. I've never even seen
really?
This stuff. Yeah. Have you seen this stuff?
I haven't got any for a while.
Yeah, I went down the aisle. Fels naphtha soap was out.
Y'all got the Fels naphtha soap.
Hey, where do you have the Fels naphtha soap? But it's good for removing toxins from poison ivy, oak, and sumac.
I hate poison sumac.
Nobody likes some sumac.
Sumac, you right in the face.
And it burned like somebody sumac you right across the face. The permethrin shampoos and lotions, that'll kill everything. Nyx and Elamite are available over the counter. So you're going to get yeast. You're going to get lice if you're in a shelter.
Are you? Yeah, it's just going to happen.
Even when you're down in the basement with your kids, somehow
scientific
it's
fact.
Just going to happen.
Yeah.
Sunscreen, it's overlooked, obviously. It's very important to have. You're going to be bugging out.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe you're just going to be bugging in, but outside.
Yeah, maybe you're next to a window a lot.
Maybe your designated area to sleep in your prepper community is right outside.
South-facing window all day long.
Man, I'm glad I got this cream.
No, skin cancer in a year after this, I guarantee it.
If I make it through this, I guarantee I'd die from melanoma.
I don't know.
Aloe vera, it has so many uses. You can even eat it. It's crazy.
And you can just grow it in your house.
Yeah, yeah.
So I bought like a $90 aloe vera plant last about 14 days. It even gives you
responsibility. Responsibility.
Trinitron.
Others, you know, vinegar, witch hazel, diluted lavender, tea tree oil is like liquid acid to me.
Is it?
That stuff's so freaking, it burns.
Does it
hurt? So those are some common creams to have. It's good to get like a diphenhydramine, which is a Benadryl cream, because you don't want to always use that steroid cream. You want to have another type of cream. Sure. And then just like Vaseline and stuff, it's good to seal off
bag wounds bomb. And
stuff. Bag bombs are excellent.
That'll cure anything.
Man, that stuff is crazy.
Kid you not.
It's got a big old cow teat on the front. Udders and teats.
My grandpa used to spread that all over my body.
Yeah.
You got a problem? Slap some back bomb on it. You're all right.
Here, come on in here, grandson. Come on, back bomb.
Let's ladder you up before you head out of the cows.
These are protected from everything. Smells.
Can you breathe? No, good.
There's a lot of other creams you can get. Chamomile and oatmeal. Honey. Honey is another cream you want.
Oh, yeah.
But there you go. Those are just some common creams you want to put into your bug out bags and...
I'm going to have a shit ton of cream in my bug out bag. It's like 19 creams. What do you got in there? Mostly cream.
I think I'm just going to mix them all together in one big, huge tube. I'm going to cover fungus. I'm going to cover burns. I'm going to cover itches.
Oh, my God.
It just gets real hot.
Cam's all-purpose cream. It just burns.
A big tube you rub on your mouth. Get my lips super chappy.
Good for upset stomach, too.
Cam's all purpose.
Better than bag bomb.
It's just everything.
Yeah.
Man, it just treats everything. Oh, that would be awesome. We should post that up.
Yeah, we should.
Cam's all purpose cream. Just like all the other like chemical compounds that are patented, and I just mix them all
good
together.
Good for cancer, intestinal fungus.
Numb your throat right up. Burn it out.
Nasal constriction.
Some of those things I think are just that. They just mix everything together. And they're like, hey, this is just a cream.
Computer viruses.
Get the little lint balls off your clothes. Just rub it on.
Smells good.
Deodorant.
Anti-Bigfoot cream.
Oh, be found in the wilderness cream.
Glows in the dark.
Anyways. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good stuff. Thanks, Cameron.
Hopefully you got something out of that.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Again, go check out our brand new film, Gone Chapter 1, on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, all of the above.
Get it out there so we can get number 2 out.
Yep. And we will.
I don't mean that by going to digging a pope. I mean a number 2.
I've got to get this number 2 out. You guys got to help.
If you guys can hit 1,000 by the end of the week, I'll let number 2
out.
I'm
going to drop a deuce as soon as that happens.
I've been holding this one in for a celebration.
This one deserves a big special occasion.
This is a long, unbroken up piece of turd.
Anyways, right. I'm going to try and get off this now.
All right, guys.
We'll see you guys next time. Bye.